Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers are down 3-1 to the Braves for the second straight year after a real clunker of a game four. We'll try to talk ourselves off the ledge and maybe talk some of you off the ledge along the way. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Vince and I are doing a split episode, so he will be with you for the second half of this show. I joked yesterday that I might make him do the whole thing by himself if the Dodgers went down 3-1. I didn't follow through on that threat, but unfortunately, the Dodgers are down 3-1. But I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the currently reigning world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. And I'm starting to feel like maybe we're going to have to change that intro, because it seems like there's a chance that coming up in the next couple weeks, the Dodgers won't be the reigning world champs anymore. It's not over yet. The Dodgers are down 3-1, just like they were last year. Last year, they had an epic comeback. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that, about, you know, what there is. I know, annoyingly optimistic at times, and I guess I'm sorry for that. But you know what? Today, there might not be as much optimism as you might expect from me. I haven't given up. I'm not going to give up. I don't believe in giving up on the Dodgers. If for no other reason than for practical reasons, I will have plenty of time to be miserable if they lose, if they get eliminated. I don't need to start that early. But watching the way Game 4 went and looking ahead to Game 5 specifically, Max Fried against the Dodgers bullpen game, it's, you know, things don't look great. And so we're going to be talking about that. You know, we'll talk a little bit about this game, Game 4, how it went, you know, what went wrong, and, you know, try not to rehash too many of the things we already talked about. But I also recognize not everybody listens every day or watches every day, although, you know, you should, I guess. If this is your first time listening or watching, I hope it's not too much of a bummer. Hope you'll come back. We do talk Dodgers 5 days a week, even in the off season. We're here all the time talking Dodgers, and it's a blast. We love doing it. Even though days like this, it is a little bit bittersweet, because, hey, we got to watch a baseball game. We get to talk about baseball, but it was a stupid, dumb baseball game, you know, and that's frustrating. So the Dodgers lost 9-2. It was close-ish until the top of the ninth. It was 5-2, which is, you know, what the Dodgers came back from in Game 3. It's still, you know, 5-2 felt pretty daunting. And then Tony Gonsolin got roughed up in the ninth inning and gave up 4 runs. It ended up 9-2. And ultimately, you know, the Dodgers went down with a whimper in the ninth inning, in the bottom of the ninth. Justin Turner got hurt late in the game. Dave Roberts has said that Turner is done for the postseason, whether that's one more game or, you know, could be as many as, what, 10 more games? But either way, Justin Turner's done. They're going to replace him on the roster, which officially makes him ineligible for the World Series roster, even if they are to make it, which is a bummer. On the field, it's not as big a deal because Justin Turner hasn't contributed, but also, we've mentioned several times, one of the keys to the Dodgers coming back is Justin Turner contributing, and whoever replaces him on the roster is unlikely to contribute at the level that we were hoping Justin Turner would. And so, you know, Dave Roberts said Billy McKinney or Zach McKinstry or even Andy Burns might be the replacement player. And so really it's a bench player, and they're going to be putting, you know, with Max Fried going in Game 5, AJ Pollock was going to get the start anyway. Albert Pujols is going to get the start at first base anyway. And so, you know, what we're going to have is Pujols at first base, Trey Turner at second base, Corey Seager at shortstop, Chris Taylor at third base, AJ Pollock in left, Cody Bellinger in center, and Mookie Betts in right. That's going to be the starting defense, obviously Will Smith catching. And you know, that's a team that can absolutely beat the Braves. And that's kind of, you know, the thing I've been preaching the last couple days of win today. That hasn't changed. It just means they have to do it 3 days in a row. And, you know, they can do that. They did it last year. I do believe that this Braves team is a better team than last year's team. Even though they're missing Ronald Acuña, they're more balanced. They're more, you know, last year they had Acuña and they had Freeman who won the MVP award. And everybody else was kind of role players. And, you know, they had good players. They have good players. But Austin Riley wasn't Austin Riley last year. Dansby Swanson wasn't as good as he is this year. Ozzy Albies was better this year. You know, and then that outfield of apparently Eddie Rosario is the best player in baseball. I missed the memo I've gotten the memo in this series and I don't like it. I wish I had been asked for my input on it because I would have lodged a formal objection to it. But, you know, they didn't ask me. So apparently Eddie Rosario is the best player in baseball. You know, Adam Duvall, Jock Peterson, this Braves team is a well-balanced team. And so beating them 3 games in a row is not going to be easy. Doesn't mean it can't be done. And like I said, I'm not going to give up until the final out is made. And I'm still hoping that that final out is the Dodgers celebrating on the field after winning the World Series. And until that's no longer a possibility, that's what I'm going to be hoping for. And you know, I'm just not quite as confident. Although I have to be honest, last year at this point, Vince did a solo episode where he talked about the Dodgers' path to victory. And I got to be honest, I was not as optimistic as Vince was last year, which is weird because normally between the two of us, I'm more optimistic than him. But, you know, it might have been something about the fact that Clayton Kershaw got roughed up in game 4 last year. And I have this emotional connection to Kershaw that it makes it hard for me when Kershaw struggles. I have a hard time getting past that. And so I was bummed for multiple reasons after that game last year. And so I hadn't given up, but I didn't have the same optimism that Vince did until after Will Smith's home run in game 5. And then I thought, oh, they could really do this. And any one thing can happen. If the Dodgers can beat Max Fried today, Dodgers go with a bullpen game, which could go either way. You know, the Dodgers starting pitching hasn't been great in this series. So maybe a bullpen game. The problem is because the starting pitching hasn't been great, the bullpen has been used a lot. But I think they can patch together a bullpen game that they might be able to hold the Braves to a few runs. And if they can get to Max Fried, you know, and that's going to mean Trey Turner stepping up, AJ Pollock stepping up, hopefully Albert Pujols stepping up. You know, they need to hit the ball. And if they can win this game, game 5, they head back to Atlanta knowing, yeah, we need to win 2 in a row, but we've got Max Scherzer and Walker Buehler, both of whom struggled in their first starts in this series, both of whom you can make a pretty good case that they are unlikely to struggle in back-to-back games. You know, if Max Scherzer's dead arm, as he called it, really was a temporary thing, a one-day thing, then yeah, you have to like the Dodgers' chances okay of winning those last 2 games with those 2 guys going. So win today really is the mantra still. And I'm sure that that's what, as I'm recording this late on Wednesday night, I'm positive that's what Dave Roberts is preaching to his team. Dave Roberts was part of the 2004 Red Sox that came back from down 3-0. He was obviously the manager of the team last year that came back against the Braves from 3-1. So Dave Roberts has been there. A lot of the guys in the clubhouse were here last year and saw that. And so, and were part of that. And so I don't think anybody's going to give up. It is a blow to lose Justin Turner, kind of the emotional leader, but he can be an emotional leader from the bench. And, you know, there's still a chance. As Lloyd said on Dumb and Dumber, you're telling me there's a chance. And yeah, there is a chance. And until they've lost the series, I will go to my grave, or, you know, hopefully I don't go to my grave before the series ends, but I will believe until belief is no longer possible. And, you know, that's what we got to do as fans. And I'm going to come back in just a minute, going to talk a little bit more about kind of what we need to see from the Dodgers in this game, in game 5. So go ahead and keep it locked on Dodgers. Let me tell you about rockauto.com. Look, think about how many different kinds of cars there are. You thinking about that? Now think about how many different cars you own. That's a lot smaller number, huh? Well, what are the chances if you go down to an auto parts store, they're going to have the parts that you need for your car? I'll tell you what the chances are. Not very good. They're either going to have generic parts or they're going to have to order it in for you. And you know, they're going to ask you silly questions. Is it a LX or an EX? You're like, I don't know. It's a car, you know? Well, guess what? You can find out the answers to those things at home, and you can go ahead and go to rockauto.com and you can go to their website, find your make and model of car, and it'll show you all the parts available. You don't have to talk to somebody at the auto parts store. You don't have to go back and pick the part up. You don't have to do any of that, because Rock Auto will ship the part to your house, and you'll notice when it gets there, huh, I paid a lot less than I would have too. It's the best of all worlds. You pay less, it's more convenient, and you get to support a family business called Rock Auto. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right. So, you know, I mentioned we're just kind of, this is kind of a talking off the ledge episode. I know that Vince's half is going to be kind of the same. He's going to be trying to look for bright sides here. And I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, in game five, you know, I covered it. The Dodgers need to hit. And there's, it's easy as a baseball fan to think that things are written in the stars. You know, it didn't help that MLB's postseason campaign a few years ago was that "Written in the Stars" song. But the fact is, nothing is written in the stars. Nothing is set in stone. No stories are written until after they happen. And so now we look back at last year and we think about the Dodgers coming back from 3-1. That didn't have to happen. That was not inevitable, as Thanos would say. Thanos thought he was inevitable, and he wasn't. You know, nothing is inevitable. Nothing is set in stone. In 2004, when the Red Sox came back from down 3-0, that didn't mean they had to win the World Series. They had been to the World Series during their drought and not won it. Nothing was set in stone. The fact that they then swept the Cardinals, that worked out for them. But so right now, it feels like, you know, there's this narrative that the Dodgers, the pitching, you know, they just got overworked. Dave Roberts may use the starters in situations that he shouldn't have in relief. And they just didn't have enough pitching because of injury and because of Trevor Bauer's mess and all of that. They just ran out of gas. That feels like the story that is. But guess what? That story is not written yet. The Dodgers' story isn't over until it's over. And we don't know what the ending is going to be. Last year, you very easily could have written a story after game four of the NLCS about Clayton Kershaw's postseason legacy, blah, 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 blah. Clayton Kershaw cost his team in a big game. Well, guess what? Clayton Kershaw came out and shoved twice in the World Series and was awesome in the World Series. And you know, because the story didn't get written until after it was done. This story hasn't been written yet, and nothing is inevitable. We like, as baseball fans, we have this romantic view of baseball. We look for these narratives, and we see it all the time. And I've mentioned this, the reason that every person, every baseball fan thinks that every national broadcaster hates his or her team is because broadcasters are chasing narratives. They're not, you know, it's the fact that they're trying to be neutral. And when you've watched a broadcast all season of Joe and Oral, who work for the Dodgers, you know, are pro Dodgers, watching a neutral broadcast is significantly more negative towards the Dodgers than what we're used to, because neutral is more negative than pro Dodgers. And that's why every fan, after 162 games of watching their team announcers, a neutral broadcast feels like they're against them. Dylan, the host of Locked On Braves, sincerely believes that this is a pro-Dodgers broadcast that we've been watching in this series. And so many Dodger fans, you know, including maybe you, think it has been a pro-Braves or anti-Dodgers broadcast. And really, it's just them trying to be neutral, but more, they're chasing narratives. And so, yeah, when something happens, when Darren Ruff hit that home run in game five of the NLDS to tie the game, yeah, they showed a bunch of replays because he just hit the longest home run of the postseason to that point to tie the game in a game between two huge rivals. You know, it was a huge moment in that game. So yeah, they showed it a bunch. Did they show it more than the Dodgers broadcast would have? Of course they did, because they're trying to be neutral, you know? And so these broadcasters, they're chasing these narratives. And so we heard a lot at the end of this game about Jeff Francoeur saying flipping the script and blah, 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 blah. Nothing is set in stone. Today, Wednesday, the Dodgers lost a game where they had their 20-game winner going against a Braves bullpen game. And tomorrow, on Thursday, the script is flipped. The Dodgers are going against the Braves ace, and the Dodgers are having a bullpen game. Guess what? The Dodgers could win that game 9-2, just like the Braves just did. There's nothing about baseball that is predictable. you know, you can guess at stuff and sometimes you're right. But the Dodgers have a very good chance. I don't know if it is, I don't know if I'd say they're the favorites, but they have a very good chance to win game five. And then in game six and seven, I think they are the favorites because they've got two guys who are going to finish in the top four in Cy Young voting going in games six and seven, if they can get there. So resist the urge to buy into the narrative that the Dodgers story has been written. You see it on social media, you hear it on the broadcast, you know, well, they just got tired or they just didn't have the heart or blah, 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 blah. None of that is true yet. It may end up being true. The story of this postseason may end up being that the Dodgers just didn't have the pitching to get through, even though really, if the offense was doing better, that wouldn't be the issue. You know, but whatever the true story is going to be, we don't know yet because it hasn't been written yet. And so I would encourage you to keep believing, just, you know, because like I said, we will have all offseason to be miserable if the Dodgers don't win the World Series. That's the way life is. I tried to mix things up today. I'm recording from my kitchen table instead of from down in my office with my bobbleheads behind me because I thought, you know what? Maybe I need to do something different. So I'm wearing my reading glasses and don't have my fancy camera. It's just my laptop camera, my little headset mic. It's a different setup for me because I thought the Dodgers need a change from their podcast. And so here I am doing my part and I'm going to keep believing until belief is no longer reasonable. And I encourage you to do the same. And with that, I'm going to step down. Vince is going to come along. He's going to have plenty of stuff to say to you guys. You know, maybe some of along the same lines. I'm interested to see what Vince's mindset is. Like I said, last year he was more optimistic than I am. I don't know how he's feeling right now, and I'm excited to watch or listen tomorrow morning when this comes out, so I can find out how Vince is feeling. But I do want to thank you guys for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Our numbers have been great, and it's not about the numbers. It's about knowing that we have thousands of you every day listening to us talking Dodgers. It means the world to us. I hope you guys know that. We love doing this show. We love talking to you, and it means a lot to us that you take the time every day to watch and listen to us. And you know that means so much to us. So thank you for that. I just want to throw that in. Vince will throw in more of that at the end, like we usually do. But thanks for making us your first listen every day. And Vince will be along in a minute.
Bet Online is back and better than ever. They got everything you need for your basketball and football needs. But with the basketball season underway, they got more props, more odds, and more lines than ever before. And it remains your number one spot for all your basketball and football action this season. So head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device. Check out their new interface, new website, and new look. And then you can sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Vince here to close out the episode, and I was going to go back and listen to last year's episode, but I think I remember most of the main points and kind of it's a different situation this year for sure, but there is a path. And, you know, that's what I'm going to be here to talk about. The Dodgers could very well lose tonight and see another team celebrate on their field. And the season ends right then and there. And, you know, maybe some people expect that. And honestly, as Jeff talked about, Max Fried versus a bullpen game, that might be what's expected in general. They probably won't be the favorites in the actual game. They're definitely underdogs to come back in the series. And, yeah, we're not going to focus on that because if that happens, it happens. And it's not going to be because of any reasons we bring up. It's going to be because of the reasons we've already seen, the Dodgers offense being non-existent and maybe the bullpen being a little bit overworked and guys are not effective. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the path to a game six, the path to a game seven, the path to the World Series. But we're going to start with the path to a game six since we do have a podcast tomorrow night. And last year, I believe the way we sent it out was going into a weekend. So I kind of had to give the path all the way. But we're going to go path to a game six. And then hopefully we get to talk about a path to a game seven after that in tomorrow's episode. But we'll have to get through game six first. The biggest thing will be, you know, Justin Turner out of the lineup. And, yeah, like Jeff mentioned, he hasn't been hitting, so it might not be the worst thing for the Dodgers lineup at the moment. Defensively, he's had a couple of struggles. And, you know, maybe Chris Taylor, who I'm assuming is going to play third base, a little bit better right now defensively. We're already going to have a stronger defense in the outfield with Cody Bellinger out in center and Albert Pujols at first base, which doesn't help the infield defense, but the infield defense hasn't really been an issue right now. And, you know, maybe a Justin Turner, you know, if Kershaw wasn't already a rallying cry for this Dodger team, maybe Justin Turner becomes that rallying cry for this team. You know, let's win for Justin. Let's win for Kershaw. You know, let's win for Muncy, because realistically, I don't think, even if the Dodgers pull this off, I don't think Muncy's going to play the rest of this season either. So, you know, rallying cry. You need things to rally around, and whether you believe that that's an actual thing or whether you believe that that's something that accounts for something, what have you got to lose? Yeah, what have you got to lose to have a rallying cry? So, those three guys, big rallying cry. Dave Roberts, after in his post-game press conference, said that he didn't have a speech prepared. He didn't have a speech ready to go. He didn't think that he was going to deliver a speech. And, you know, most of these guys were here last year. They know the deal. These are grown men, professional athletes. Rallying cry and a speech might be a little bit overkill. They know what's on the line in game five. They know, you know, what's coming to it. And, you know, some of the stuff I see is these guys aren't trying to lose. You know, they don't want – Trey Turner doesn't want to be bad right now. It's just a matter of how it goes, whether it's pressure, bad timing, bad luck, a combination of all those three. They're in this situation, and I do remember one of the main points I made last year was the path is there, but the margin for error is very small. And this year, even more so, the margin for error is super small. Last year, just think about all the things that had to happen for the Dodgers to win those three games. Think about the base running blunders that the Braves made. Think about the great plays that the Dodgers made. You know, think about the clutch hits that came, Will Smith off Will Smith. You know, Kike in game seven, Cody in game seven, you know, Jansen kind of being rocky throughout the postseason and then shutting down game five and six, regardless of what the score was, he shut it down and things like that. So starting with this game five, one at a time, that's the mentality. You can't think about, oh, we have Scherzer and Buehler waiting in game six and seven. You got to get to game six and seven, and you got to get through game five in order to push that. You know, you don't want to lose on your home field. You don't want to see another team celebrate on your field. That's enough incentive right there. You want to win it for the guys that are hurt. You want to win it for Dave Roberts, who most of these players love. You want to win it for the fans. You want to win it for yourself. You know, you want to win it because you want to win. You know, you have to want to win. And these Dodgers want to win, regardless of how it looks, or if you think there's body language or whatever the case is. Dodgers got to get up. It's game five, do or die, backs against the wall. All the cliches are out there, and, you know, go handle it. So talking specifically about the game, the Dodgers, I don't think that they're going to have an extra arm. And realistically, they can get through this game without needing an extra arm, because if somebody gets hurt, even if it's not a real injury, they cannot be on the World Series roster either. So I don't think there's – Tony Gonsolin might be the only arm that they'd be willing to sacrifice in that sense. He hasn't looked that great this postseason. They could get a guy like Mitch White up. They could get a guy. I don't remember who. Mitch White is one of them. They have David Price there. They have, you know, I guess technically Victor Gonzalez, Darian Nunez, Andrew Vasquez. But if they decide, you know, pull the plug on Gonsolin in 2021, and maybe try to get an extra arm up and use that to help out over these next potentially three games, I think Gonsolin would be the guy. And there's no bulk guy that's set for game five, but the Dodgers have a lot of guys that didn't pitch in game four, and that's where they're going to have to live. You know, Alex Vesia, Blake Treinen, Corey Knebel, Joe Kelly, Kenley Jansen, Bruzdar Gratterall, those are guys they're going to have to use and they're going to have available. They'll have, they didn't pitch in the game, so they have a day off. They have a day off the next day if they win, and you got to get 27 outs. That's Dave Roberts has talked about this before. A lot of managers talked about this before in these types of games, bullpen games. You're kind of scripting for 27 outs. Now, that is not always going to go by script, you know, because ideally you'd use every pitcher and nobody would give up any hits or any runs, and you get your 27 outs very easily. But some pitchers are probably scripted for 3 to 5 outs, 3 to 6 outs, and they might not get those 3 outs. But the next guy who is only scripted for 3 outs might end up getting 5 to 6 outs, depending on how things go. So I think that where you feel comfortable on the pitching side is those names I just mentioned. The Dodgers' best relievers are available. Vesia, Trinan, Knebel, Kelly, Jansen, Gratterall. And then you got Brohl, Bickford, and Phillips, who didn't pitch yesterday. He'll be available. He looked really good in his outing. Brohl's looked really good so far. He's a lefty. He's young. Like, you know, he'll be able to go. Phil Bickford's been a guy that, you know, they've hitched the wagon to all season, so he'll be ready to go. So it's all arms on deck, other than probably Tony Gonsolin. All arms on deck. The Dodgers' first bullpen game went pretty well. They had the Braves on the ropes. They were very close to winning that game against Max Fried. Same situation. Just didn't work out in the end because of the offense, which I'm going to get into right now. But pitching-wise, they can do this. They can hold the Braves to 2-3 runs or less and give the offense a chance. And that's what you got to hope for. That's what you got to hope for. You got to hope your guys show up. You got to hope that, you know, your relievers get the out. You got a plan of attack, and you got to go after it. Now, when it pushes to the offensive side, this is where you need the help to come in. The pitching side, they the starters have faltered. A couple relievers here and there have faltered. But for the most part, you know, the Dodgers relievers have been very good since the wild card game all the way until now. And that's where you have the hope. Or that's where you have the confidence. Where you have the hope is in the offense and the offense figuring it out. A lineup consisting of Will Smith, Albert Pujols, Corey Seager, Trey Turner, Cody Bellinger, AJ Pollock, Chris Taylor, and Mookie Betts. That's a lineup you have to have hope in. That's a lineup that you have to believe that they can get 5 runs total. It might not be 5 runs off Max Fried, and it might not be, you know, 5 runs off the bullpen, but it might be 2 against Max Fried, and it might be 3 against the bullpen. And 5 runs should win you this game because of the confidence you have in the pitchers you have available. And you know, playing at Dodger Stadium and hopefully having a strong crowd behind you. And the offense is, like I said, more hope than confidence at this point. Cody Bellinger's looked good, but he's also going to be facing Max Fried, a lefty, who could give him issues. Mookie Betts has been one of the Dodgers' best hitters this entire postseason. You know, he has to get it going. He's at the top of the lineup. He's got to get it going. I'm interested to see what they do with Trey Turner. They asked Dave Roberts about lineup construction and if he was going to move it around. He said, you know, Belly in center and Pujols at first and made probably Taylor at third, but he didn't say in what order they were going to bat, which makes it seem like dropping Trey Turner in the order is something that's possible. And honestly, I think they got to do it. He's kind of sucking, you know, the fun out of the three hole. You know, even if Mookie Betts gets on, Seager gets on, you know, Trey Turner is basically an automatic out at this point, unless he hits a little dribbler like he did the other day and gets infield single. So whether it's pressure that he's putting on, whether it's just a slump, whatever the case is, this is do or die. And you can't, F your feelings for the most part, F anybody's feelings right now. If you got to move in the lineup, you got to move in the lineup and you got to contribute wherever you're moved. And that's kind of where it's at. Pollock had a nice big hit the other day. Hopefully that'll keep him. He's been looking better since the NLDS and wild card game early in those. Chris Taylor's had not a great game, popping up a lot of pitches, the first pitch a couple times in last night's game. But, you know, he's been pretty hitting the ball pretty solid most of this series. Will Smith hit the ball very solid there in the ninth inning, just wasn't quite enough. Corey Seager's had some home runs in the first inning. Hasn't done much beyond those home runs, but you know he's a guy that you know can deliver damage when need be. Albert Pujols, you know, I honestly don't have too high hopes for him. He did get a single in last night's game, so maybe he will see the ball a little bit better. And, you know, Freed's a guy who is not going to blow it by you and has a curveball that, you know, potentially could. We saw the curveball last year against Seager. He hung it a little bit up in the zone, and Seager took it out the second time they faced him. And, you know, that's where you got to get that hope from. And then you got who else? Well, you'll have whoever else they – yeah, that's about it. But the path is there for the game five, okay? Bullpen game, three runs or less, offense, give me five runs, and let's go to Atlanta. And that's where it sits, and that's where it's at. And that's what I'm going to talk about right now. I'm not going to talk about a game six. No, I'm going to talk about a game seven. There's game five, one at a time. That's the path. 27 outs from your six to seven best relievers, five runs from your offense of guys, a batting champ, two MVPs, and you know, a bunch of other good players, all-stars, and all that jazz. You got to produce, and you got to just have a little hope, have a little faith, have a little this is the faith that we're putting on. We're maybe grasping at straws here as Dodger fans, but you got the Nightingale curse. He said put the ice on champagne. You got the Nightingale curse. You got the Atlanta sports curse, 28-3, the Falcons. The Braves won 14 divisions, titles in a row, won one time, 3-1 last year. I'm sure there's other Atlanta. The Atlanta Hawks won a lot of games that one year, won like 60 games, lost in the first or second round. Atlanta sports, just they're known for having a curse. You got to have faith in that. Charles Barkley, Chuck, he made a guarantee. His guarantees usually fail, so have faith in that. And have faith in the Dodgers and in talent, and in talent winning now, and in talent regressing on the Braves side. You know, Eddie Rosario is a fine player, but he's not a 588 with a 1.69 OPS player. Some of those other guys are pretty good, but they're not that good. And some guys who, you know, Freddie Freeman seem to turn it around. But it's one of those where, yeah, you let Freddie Freeman beat you, but you can't let the other guys beat you. And that's where the Dodgers have been failing. You know, game one and two, Freddie Freeman wasn't beating them. The other guys beat them. Game three, they ended up winning that one. But Freeman was just hitting singles. This one game, Freeman had two extra base hits, home run, an RBI double. And, you know, let Freeman beat you. Let him beat you with nobody on base and challenge him that way. And that's the way you win game five. And that's the way you send this thing back to Atlanta. And then if that happens, we'll talk about the path to game seven tomorrow. That's going to do it for today's episode. Let's go, Dodgers. Don't let this end tonight. You know, push it forward. Push it to game six. The other thing, too, real quick, all the pressure's on the Braves. The Braves blew a 3-1 series lead last year. You know, there's no pressure on the Dodgers. Everyone, for the most part, is expecting the Dodgers to lose. Nobody's really expecting them to come back and win, you know, with such bravado that you would put it on the line. The pressure's on the Braves. Closing out series is hard. We saw it last year, and hopefully we see it this year. So that's going to do it now for today's episode. Thank you for making this your first listen. Every morning, wherever you get podcasts or on YouTube, we appreciate it very much. Tomorrow we'll be here to talk about hopefully a game five victory. Let's manifest it, put it out there, a game five victory. If not, it might just be Jeff and I crying for 20 to 30 minutes, but hopefully not. No, let's put it out there. Game five victory. That's what we'll be talking about tomorrow. So let's go get it. Make your second listen of the day, Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. He brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. That's also free and available on all platforms. All right, let's go. Thank you for making us your first listen. Subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. You can follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm on Twitter at Vince Samperio. You can always send us a text or leave us a voicemail at 323-863-LOCK. Or you can send us an email, LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com. Those are all the ways to get a hold of us. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, search Smart Device Play Podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.